if you don't ask for help, you're going to feel insufficient because you can't do it all by yourself. And I think it's not healthy. You don't have to be the super mom. You're already a super mom. You're this big role model for your kids.
When I was a little girl playing in my father's office, I dreamed of learning how to code. But my dad wasn't a coder. He was a businessman. And I never got to learn how. And it's been something that I've been curious about my whole life. And now this whole world is startup and tech crazy. You got to check out Hack Reactor. Even if you've been curious and you want to improve your skills and you're working in the marketing department and you happen to have to learn how to do HTML and you want to take it that much further, Hack Reactor is the trusted environment to go to become the best programmer that you could possibly be. Not only will you get the education, but you'll get the support from them to make sure that you're not alone in the journey. HackReactor.com.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am at Dublin Tech Summit. It is so exciting to be here. And extraordinarily, I was able to meet one of the most incredible women in tech because I love programming and you're about all things programming. So go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are.
Sure. So I'm Megan Eisenberg, CMO of MongoDB for Humongous Databases. I've been CMO for about 2 years. Was very excited to get invited to come speak today and talk about open source and how it's eating the software world and just the growth and adoption that's coming with open source and really winning the hearts of developers.
And I remember back in, what was it, like 2000, early 2000s, maybe late like 99, like when was open source created? Like,
so open source has been around a fairly long time, certainly back in the Red Hat, Linux timeframe. So it has, the history goes pretty far back, but I think it's really become a lot more mainstream in the last 10 years.
Right. Yeah. Yes. I remember when it was something that like we were just able to access and do something with. And I was like, what? You just saved like a billion development hours.
Yes, it's true. It really is true. It's become accepted and safe and mission critical.
Safe was huge.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay, we're in Dublin right now, but you're obviously not Irish.
That's right.
Where are you?
I'm a quarter Irish.
Where are you from?
So I'm out of our California office, our Palo Alto office. My parents are from Iowa, and I've grew up mostly in the Bay Area.
And Mongo has a Dublin office as well.
We do. Our European headquarters is Dublin.
And it's Palo Alto in the States.
It's Palo Alto and New York. We were founded in New York, so we have dual U.S. headquarters.
Perfect.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about your tech journey. When did you first realize you were in love with technology?
Well, I will say in high school, when I was getting ready to go to college, I wanted to focus on art. And my dad said, you can do anything you want as long as it's in the sciences. And so I, at the time, Silicon Valley, I decided to go to undergrad and do a major in computer science.
Oh my gosh, amazing. Because I have said many times on the show that I feel like the more exposure we get to technology, being male or female,
yes,
like that's how we become in the world. So you said your father was a contributor. Now, was he in the sciences himself?
He was. He was an industrial engineer and he worked in tech for a long time. And then he taught math and technology and for high school students after that.
Do you think you would have sought it out on your own if it wasn't for your father?
It's an interesting question. You know, I've always loved problem solving and I've certainly loved just new innovative things. I think being in Silicon Valley, it's unavoidable. And so there was definitely a draw and a lot of hiring was for developers and technical. So that was certainly something as I was deciding.
That's cool. And then when you were studying computer science, did you have a lot of girls around you or?
No, we didn't. You know, I was at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo.
There we go.
There we go.
That's funny.
And there wasn't in the computer science classes, there was more in the MIS. So I merged over or switched over to MIS and minored in computer science by the time I graduated. I would say there's a lot more. I just was back there talking to a women's group, Women in Business and Technology, and it's way more interest and the balance is a lot better now.
And as you went through your journey, like going to where you are today, where did that start? Like where did your career actually begin? Your first internship?
Sure. So my first internship was at Applied Materials. I did 5 different summers there. And my stepmother worked there and got me an internship before I started college. And I was a Lotus Notes developer and did that and So I was definitely in it there. And then when I graduated, I joined Cisco Systems. At the time, there's lots of offers in the big five consulting firms that half are not even around anymore. And then Chevron was hiring and Cisco was hot because they're actually running Oracle. Yeah. And at the time I could go run on Lotus Notes or I could do the hot new thing at the time, which was Oracle and their database. So I joined Cisco Systems as an IT engineer.
And have you always felt that you're a woman in tech or do you just see yourself as someone in tech?
Yeah, I don't. I always saw myself as someone in tech. I didn't, you know, we were talking earlier. I never really felt like I couldn't do something. I didn't, you know, if I wanted to do it, I really felt like I could do it. And I have a really strong drive. So it's if someone ever told me I couldn't do something, I would probably
totally
do it just
try
because.
Even harder.
Yeah. Try harder to prove them wrong. And so, yeah, I never felt that I couldn't do it. And I noticed when I was at Cisco, I was there a little over 3 years, that most of the management team had MBAs. And so I knew if I wanted to manage and lead tech teams, I need to go get my MBA. And that's really where I switched over to marketing and technology after graduating from Yale with it.
And it's such a different world being on the engineering side versus being on the business side. And I do think it's a unique combination that you're both. What would you say is the biggest difference between, like, why does one need the other, you know?
Yes. Well, I mean, I think what's really important in the business side is to understand who you're selling to and the buyer. And if you have an IT background, you understand the pain and the problem they're trying to solve. So being able to market that, it becomes a lot easier. So I think understanding your customer is really, really important. Also, we all live and die by our resources and the teams that we build. And, you know, hiring engineers and developers is tough. There's a war for talent out there. And so as a management team, you really want to understand your employees and what they need and what they're trying to build and to be able to communicate and help them communicate externally. So taking the core thing that they're working on and putting it into something that others can digest. Yes.
So a couple things that I really want to get into because I think it will be super helpful for everybody is one, what are some recommendations or suggestions you would say on how to be an effective leader? And then how, if somebody is listening now and they're like, I really want to learn how to program, how to start that journey. So let's start with leadership.
Sure. I mean, I think leaders need to, one, they need to inspire and they need to be able to build teams and understand. They need to be able to set direction, objectives, but align everyone around it. They need to be able to hire well. I think diversity is a really important part of hiring, that you hire people not like you, that you hire people with different backgrounds and ideas of what they want. And so that's always been a focus. And those that can solve problems, because I think as a manager and a leader, basically, you're there to solve problems. If everything was running perfectly, they wouldn't need you. And so being ready for change and all of that, I think, is important. As far as if you want to get into programming, I think that if you're entering college, that's a great time. Actually, I have high school. Now I have three girls. I have a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and they're already, you know, in kindergarten teaching basic programming steps. There's games.
So cool.
There are camps. They went to a Lego, you know, Lego programming automation camp. And so I think you could start at any age. As you get past college, if you wanted to go back, you could, or you could enroll in courses that are online. Obviously, there's MongoDB has a ton trying to help people learn about development.
Where can they go?
So we have MongoDB University. If you went to our homepage up at the top left, it's university. You can click there. We have free courses. Over 400,000 people have gone through them. You can download them on your phone or your iPad. So easy to get set up with that.
And you brought up your mom.
Yes.
How do you balance being a driven mother?
Yeah. So I saw a woman speak and she said something that really resonated with me. And what she said was, I depend far more of my husband and far less of myself than the average woman. And what that means is I need a great partner that can take on more and that I'm not afraid to, I don't want to say delegate, but to partner with. And so my husband takes on a lot. I also need help. You know, I have help in the house. I schedule, I plan months, 6 months, a year out. We've got a joint family calendar and I just, you know, I've got to do that. And I also have to let some things go. There's just some things I'm not able to do. And you know, 95% of the time I can balance it all. And I think it's a work-life blend. If I had, you know, one of the reasons I work so well at MongoDB is we're not, you know, we're very flexible and office hours. So sometimes I leave in the middle of the day and I go see a performance or I pick up a kid or I go to the doctor's with my kids. And it's, you know, welcomed, accepted, and the norm. So I also have to have a work environment that supports a working mother. And then, you know, really when the times it doesn't work is when they're sick.
Yeah.
When my kids get sick and if I get sick, we tend to fall apart because the care doesn't work. They're not at school. There's just a lot of things that start to back up.
Totally.
And as a mother, you know, you have guilt and your kids want you. They tend to want you more than your husband or your spouse. And so you just have to step back and then maybe work some nights and do some other things to catch up. But, you know, you can do it.
I think one really powerful thing that comes up often is it is a strength to ask for help.
Yes.
And I think that sometimes we feel, especially in the startup world or tech world or getting, you know, when we feel like we don't know what to do. So we want to seem like we're perfect or seem like we have it under control because that will make us look like we're able.
Yes.
And it's actually about asking for help.
Yes. You know, I get a ton of help, even at the schools. There's many moms, many work, many don't. And I think you need a bond with both. You need the ones that work to make you not feel guilty and to support and cheer you on and understand what you're doing and empathize. Right. And then you need the moms that don't work because they're in the classroom. They're sending you photos. They're stepping in and writing notes to your kids. You know, they're doing things that you're not able to do, but helping you feel part of it. So I think that's a really big deal. Also, I think as we get better as businesses to create environment for working moms, we have our World Conference coming up in Chicago, our annual developer, and we're going to have daycare. We're going to have services. So if you need a place to bring your kids, it's the first year we've done it. You know, we've always done a women and trans coder lounge, but this year we're going to provide care. And I think that's awesome.
That's awesome. There's this startup in LA that actually has mobile care for conferences and stuff. And they go around and I don't have kids myself, but I witnessed it. And I was like, how cool, like these awesome girls taking care of the kids and like in a cool environment.
Yes.
Makes it more possible because I mean, you have to prioritize family.
Yes, you do. Yes. And I agree on just if you don't ask for help, you're going to feel insufficient because you can't do it all by yourself. And I think it's not healthy. And I think you have to be okay. You don't have to be the super mom. You're already a super mom. You're this big role model for your kids. And all the studies show they're more successful in school and in work. Salaries are higher of kids whose mom worked. Like there's a lot of benefits for your kids as well.
Can you talk about that a little bit more, actually? I would love to hear, since you're familiar,
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, so my husband is a doctor at Stanford and reads a lot of different studies. He's a urologist. And so he's always sending me things to give me props and to feel, you know, he reads a lot of these studies as well. And so he had sent me one saying that it was something like, on average, they make $5,000 more a year than someone whose mom didn't work. I mean, it seems like not a lot, but I think it's just that they have a role model. They have they see that drive and there's something to it. Yeah.
I think that's really important because, you know, sometimes you read the stories on like how women have to hide that they're pregnant when they're raising money and stuff.
Yes,
and so to hear these empowering perspective of like, no, this is how it's possible. It's so awesome. And equally, you talked about your active. I mean, we connected on social media here at the conference. People who want to cyber stalk you right now, how can they find you online?
So I'm at M. Eisenberg is my Twitter handle. I'm also certainly on LinkedIn. I am always happy to talk and mentor women. I'm also a founding advisor for Women 2.0. And so I think that's a great organization focused on helping women in work and advancement of their career and hiring women. And so definitely passionate about the topic.
And how can people look into that more, Women 2.0?
So women2.com is a great website to go to. We have a Twitter handle and Instagram, so you can follow, and Facebook. So definitely can learn more there. There are different groups around the world. So that's a great way to get involved.
Perfect. And one thing that I kind of skipped over, but I would love to, and maybe Matt wants to move it somewhere else in the conversation, but how do you break down the definition of open source in like super layman terms, someone that knows nothing about technology?
Jack, maybe you have a good one on this.
Here, you can give Jack the mic if you want.
I'm not sure if I'm...
Jack is going to be our little cameo. Jack, what is your role at Mongo?
So I'm a communications manager at MongoDB.
So he's going to communicate open source.
Yeah, Megan's my boss. Basically, it's the idea of giving away core free software. Anyone can download it. Anyone can use it straight away. There's no barrier to entry. You don't have to enter your email. You don't have to do anything clever. You don't have to give anyone any money. You can just access and start using the software straight away.
Yeah, and I think so another way to think about open source and to break it down, I would say, is to think about freemium. So if any of us, even DocuSign, I was at prior, anyone can sign. And so you download the app, and then anytime you get a document, you pull it in, you can sign it, and it wraps it up and sends it back. And so the idea is that anyone can download the software, and they can start building on top of it. There's no cost to it. And what's beautiful about it is there's many people doing it, so it constantly improves, and it's not limited by the developers within one company. It's developers all around the world.
Yeah. It's an incredible community of global developers that come together to innovate. It's quite extraordinary, because typically the world of development is like, when you talk about someone really skilled, you think like a hacker and they're going to take the world down.
Yes, that's right.
This is actually about improving everybody.
That's right. Yeah.
So two more questions that I just can't get away without asking. One, how do you overcome challenges?
How do I overcome? I usually break them down into one step at a time. You know, even if I'm feeling like I've got too much on my plate, I find if I just, okay, let's look at what's the most important thing to do now and peel it off. And as I start to tackle them, I could do a lot more. It doesn't seem as, I guess, overwhelming.
And what have you learned about yourself in achieving your dreams and becoming a driven leading executive and a proficient, you know, engineer? How do you become all those things?
Yeah, you know, I think I've definitely learned that I love the process of it. You know, not to be cheesy, but the song, The Climb, like, I think the fun part of being in a tech company and growing a company is building it and facing the challenges and getting users and getting customers and growing your customers, and that every day there's a new challenge. So I know that I love that part of it. I love the challenge. I love the change. I also have found that there's pretty much any, you know, no matter what challenge, there's usually a solution for it. And I often rely on my network. And I will reach out to others that I think are solving this problem or working on it, or just, you know, bosses and mentors in my past CMOs that I've worked for, the VC community, and just network and find, you know, the solution or who might be an expert in it.
Awesome. Who's a woman in tech that you really look up to?
You know, I've been fortunate. I've had a lot of tech executives. One who I speak to often and is definitely a mentor for me is Amy Chang. She's the CEO of a company, and she came out of Google. She ran their search team. And so she's also, by the way, on the board of Cisco Systems now. She's on the board of Splunk. She's just this rock star. She's a mom. She's running a business. Like, she's got everything going on. She's local in Los Altos and has just been just a cheerleader for me as well.
Do you by chance know how to find her?
I do. So she is at Amy a company, or at a company Amy. And the company is ACCOMPANY, and there's an app on it. But you could go to her website. I'd be happy to connect you as well. But she's also on Twitter and LinkedIn.
Awesome. And you guys will include it in the show notes too, to make sure you have the right link so you could reach out. Megan, thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast.
Thank you.
You're amazing. If you guys want to meet more extraordinary women, you know, you could go to the Women in Tech Facebook group, which you just go to womenintechvip.com. That takes you straight to the Facebook group, so it's not confusing. Also, always feel free to reach out to me at Women in Tech Show or at Esprit DeVore on Twitter. I'll talk to you guys, see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit DeVore, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, Music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.